The Shia today is dedicated to the schus of Jay's brother, Azriel Simcha Chaim ben Avraham Moshe Zechon Levracha. He was a big story. Yeah. And if you want to talk to Jay about it, I'm sure he'll share with you some of the story.
He was something, mamish something. Thank you, Rabbi.
His memory should be gebenched, and the whole family should only simcha, nachas, and brach.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Let's learn. We always have this crisis of page because the different editions. But I'm on page Kuf Tes Zayin. We're in Perek Zayin. It's the two pages before the end of Perek Zayin on the issue of Hisbardus Becheder or Besada. Again, sometimes apparently it's missing altogether from the Sefer, or it could be another 100 pages up ahead in the other editions. So I apologize for that. But in this edition, towards the end of Perek Zayin, page Kuf Tes Zayin, in the middle of the page or towards the bottom, Hahevdelim v'hamailas shel hisbardus b'bayis habesada. So until now in the parak, we're learning about what appears to be a stira in Rabbi Nachman's teachings, but it's clearly not. That in some places you found it. Okay, so it's on page Reish Mem Zayin. It's on Reish Mem Zayin in the other edition. That's like a different neighborhood, but okay. So Kuf Tes Zayin or Reish Mem Zayin. So in some places in Rabbi Nachman's writings, it's the field, it's the forest, or don't even bother. It's got to be out there in the field or the forest, pure, unpolluted. The world didn't get to it. No shtiyot, no diburim, no confusion. The air is clear. Rabbi Nachman is very, very strong on the inyan of the air being clear, to think, to daven. But then there are other places where Rabbi Nachman speaks about his own hezbardus in the room that he had. And it's clear that's part of the avodah, being indoors or having a room that's at least designated. So that's what we've been talking about until now. That it's not a stira. Rabbi Nachman was talking about highest ideal madrega, where a person really needs that kind of purity and that kind of aloneness to be able to come to a madrega of bittul mamish, the highest madrega of connecting to Hashem, as opposed to the avodah of hisbardus day in, day out, where it's not easy for most people to get out to the field or to a forest. And there's tremendous avodah and even some advantages, as we're going to learn about right now, to indoor hisbardus. There are some advantages as well. So that's what we're going to learn about a little bit now, which is very practical. So look inside. Elu shevigilim lehisbardus ach v'rach besada. The chevra that they're used to doing hisbardus just in the fields, in the forest, with all of the milas, there's also a very big disadvantage. The disadvantage is kashal ha'ma'od lehisbardus b'cheder. They become spoiled. If you have that fortune of being able to do hisbardus in the fields, then when you can't do that, weather or other issues, when you can't do that, it's very hard for you to bichlal get into this bardus at all, because you're in that world of his bardus besada. It's very hard. Kashlam ba'ol is bardus becheder. Then it's very hard to settle to go into a room. B'makom sogur shabon nevgashim rak b'dal amis, to be in a place where you only have the walls, the dal amis. And also it could be that there are all kinds of bilbulim going on in the house. And so that person of the field, the ish hasada, not to be confused with Esav, but the ish hasada, this person of the field, it's hard for him to be in the four walls. When I first came up to the country this summer, so I was davening Mincha Maariv somewhere, and it was a small minyan, not here in our bungalow, but someplace where I was. And I met a guy that I hadn't seen him like in 40 years. And he told me that he moved out here. He's living. He's got a farm someplace up here in the mountains, and he was going on and on. Like, you know, after davening, he was telling me about how his life is he can't imagine. He can't even go visiting the city. It's his Yiddishkeit, his kids, his shalom bayis. Everything is because of the sada, because of being in the field, not being stuck in his four walls, and that's working very well for him. Now you take a guy like that, and you put him into the penitentiary or something, which based upon some of his behavior, it could be that he might end up there, but I'm just joking. So you put this guy in four walls. He's a tzaddik of a guy. You put him in four walls, and it's hard for him to survive, to manage. Some of you might have friends that made the mistake of moving from out of town to New York, and most of the ones that I know, even though they might enjoy some of the benefits of being in New York, but mostly they're suffering terribly, even years later, from leaving the field and coming to New York. Unless they're moving from a very big city, but in general, it's a wrong decision to come to New York. I mean, there are a lot of nice people and great tzaddikim and so on that might work, that might help you and everything, to adjust. But the pashtus of living out of town is something that those people have a hard time adjusting to when they're not. Ba'ar b'kiris, there are four walls. Levad, lo roim es ha-shamayim. Lo roim es ha-shamayim. They don't see the skies. Lo roim es ha-shamayim. As Aharam, the mountains are gross, the hills, as Kaichvah Shamayim, the stars, the Shah Maisib Rashis, and all of Maisib Rashis. Maisib Rashis means the world the way that Hashem made it, not diluted, not polluted, not tampered with, the world as Hashem made it, the stars, the trees, the fields. That's Maisib Rashis. Now, when you're in the world as Hashem made it, then it's much easier for most people to get to the Creator. It's easier, it's more of a direct contact with the Creator, which is why the Rishonim, especially the Rambam, he speaks about a Havas Hashem, Dav Namach. Ma'i says, Pesecha, I look at the work of your hands, I see the heavens, I look at the work of your hands, and so on. It's much easier there's less work to get to the Bari Olam when you're coming into contact with the Olam of the world, as opposed to those of us who are in our artificial, man-made environments. It's much less of a direct connection to the Bari Olam. Even though Hashem is everywhere, Hashem is leis asa ponamina, everything is elokus, but it's much harder. You have to wade through a lot of stuff until you're able to be in that place to feel it, to be aware. Hashem's everywhere, but you have to open up all the things that are all the wrapping that we're surrounded by in the city. It's much harder. Because when you're in the city, when you're in the four walls, so then it's very easy for those walls to detach a person from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to just get caught up in the Havli Ha'olam in all of the Narishkeit, all the Havli Ha'olam. Sada, however, when you're in the field, Nimtzoyim liad Ma'aseh Bereishis, Yoseh Ma'aseh Bnei Adam. In the field, when you're out there, you're surrounded by my separations. You know how Rabbi Nachum Sussalahim, which brought down, I think in Chai Moran, that Rabbi Nachum was looking out of his window, and there was a yid, one of the chassidim was running, coming and going, and Rabbi Nachum motioned him to come inside, and Rabbi Nachum asked him, whatever, Yankel, what are you doing? He says, Rabbi, I'm busy in the market. And outside, it was very busy with all the horses and the people selling stuff, whatever. And Rabbi Nachman said to him, 50 years from now, those horses are not going to be here. Those stands in the market are not going to be here. I'm not going to be here, and you're not going to be here. Why don't you take a moment every now and then to look at the sky? That's what Rabbi Nachman told me. Every now and then, just look at the sky. That's going to be here. And what Rabbi Nachman was trying to communicate to this fellow was that, of course, you have to go to work and you're busy. But in that environment of the horses, of the wagons, and of the and of the stores and so on, it's very, very, it's much harder to pull your eyes and to remember that there's something here that's forever and that's unchanging, not the sky itself, but the Borei Olam. When you look at Ma'aseh Bereishis, it's much easier to connect to that. B'sodah nimtzoyim liyad Ma'aseh Bereishis, yo'aseh Ma'aseh b'nei Adam, v'ze'yochol gam l'sayei l'eschar b'lashon. Since you're surrounded by Ma'aseh Bereishis, when you're out in the field, so it's easier to come to the oiseh Ma'aseh Bereishis. So I was mentioning a minute ago, the Rambam saw that as a very powerful means of coming to Ahavas Hashem. And that's why the Rambam says, all the Kadmonim say that we see that the Ovas Ha'olam that they all went to be Mizboide. They were big Mizboide, and they used to go out. They were shepherds, and they were in the fields, and they went out, and they Moshe Rabbeinu was in the training around in the desert. That's how they lived, and over the years they were tzaddikim that they voluntarily took upon themselves to leave the rooms and the walls and to go to those places like the Ovis and tzaddikim, the Friedrich tzaddikim, the way that they lived. And the Rishonim tell us that this is why the Nevi'im, in order to experience Nevuah, we don't find that the Nevi'im, that they were saying Nevi'is like on, you know, on the A train or on the F train. No. I mean, when I used to go on the A train, the F train, there were a lot of people who claimed to be prophets over there. But that's only because they somehow escaped, you know, the nut house. But you know, a Navi is not coming to Nevi'is on the subway, in the subway. He's not coming to Nevi'is. And then we see that they used to go, that it was on Hog of the Nevi'im, even in our times. It's a whole fascinating journal of the Nazir, Rabbi David Cohen. His Yotzai was a couple, it was last week, 2 weeks ago. Last week, I think, there was the Nazir of David Kahn, one of Rav Kook's biggest Talmidim. Rav Kook's, yes, I was yesterday, of course, but the Nazir was one of Kook's biggest Talmidim. And there's a whole journal of this trip that the Nazir took. It's in Mishnas HaNazir. He went out, mamash, into like into the desert, into Midbar Yehuda. It was just nice that he survived. And he was trying to connect to that ruach of ruach hakodesh and the ruach and so on. So it's not just 1,000 years ago. Yoytzim is b'odin b'midbaris b'ma'aris, to go out to deserts and to caves like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and so on. B'nei shehem ma'isei Hashem. Kol makom shu ma'isei de adam, because every place in the world that you go to that was made by people, our houses, our buildings, and so on, the machshavas of the ones who built those places, the machshavas of the ones who, most of the places we live in, were not built by big tzaddik. You understand? They weren't built by tzaddikim. They were built by all kinds of chaver. And the machshavas of the person who built the house are in the boards. It's in the lumber. It's in the pipes. It's in the hardware of the house. It's all there. Which is, you know, it's an interesting thing that. When the Chayzer from Lublin, would travel someplace, they would take his bed. They would take his bed in a wagon, and he would sleep only in his bed. They would move it into wherever he went, and he would stay in that bed when he went to sleep. Someplace it happened that they, for whatever reason, they didn't have his bed. And he was in this inn, and they didn't have his bed, and the chayzer couldn't sleep on the bed. He couldn't sleep on the bed. It wasn't shy for him to sleep on the bed. So they didn't know what to do. So they hired a big erlich yid, a big tzaddik that lived over there, who was a carpenter also. And they hired him to make a brand new bed from scratch. This was a yid that was, you know, making yichudim. He was a big person. And so he quickly got to the job, and whatever it was, one day he made a brand new bed for the chayzer, and they put that into the room for the chayzer. They didn't tell the chayzer anything about what it was. They just asked him to try again. Maybe he'll be able to get a little menuch, a little bit of a rest. So that night, everybody was excited. They were sitting downstairs, you know, and they were hoping they wouldn't hear the pacing upstairs. But the chayzer went to bed, and then 5 minutes later, they heard him walking around. So he couldn't sleep on that bed. So in the morning, somebody asked him, Rebbe, what was wrong with the bed? It was a new bed. So the chayzer said, I felt that it was made by a very, very big erlich yid, but it was the 9 days. And I felt in the bed that he had machshavas of the churban, that he was sibrochen over the churban Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, and I couldn't sleep in the bed. It had in it those hergeshim of the churban, of I couldn't sleep in the bed. That's exactly what happened. So the people who are making our furniture are not thinking about Yerushalayim, you understand? And the people who are building our homes are not thinking about the Chod Mitzvah Mikdash, not thinking about anything other than whatever they're thinking about. So when you're in an artificial world, a man-made world, you're unquestionably affected by the place that you're in. The Vilna Gaon, Zichus Elanu, said that already back then, he said, you don't see that there are so many big Talmidei Chacham that are coming out like it used to be. It's because they have these sons-in-law that they're being supported by the fathers-in-law, and many of the fathers-in-law are Isaac and Gezel Akum. They're making a living by stealing from Goyim, and they're building these houses for money that was stolen from Goyim, and you can't accomplish that much in learning when you're in a place that was built from Gezel Akum. B'nai Sosa said a similar thing also. That a person is affected by the place that you're in. So when you're in the field, you're in the forest, the balabas over there is the Baruch Shalom. The one who made the place is the Baruch Shalom. No artificial ingredients. Not like it says on our food, it's all filled with sheker. No artificial ingredients, mamish. It's the Baruch Shalom, hot off the press, but the Baruch Shalom made his hands. So that's a big thing. So the Nevi'im and the Tzaddikim, they wanted to spend time, and they went out to those places. And that's why the ideal Madrega of his Bodhis is Davke in such places. Uvachal Zais, you get spoiled. And then when you're indoors, it's very hard for a person like that to be misbided. Midach b'cheder, There's also a maila to endure hisbodhis. The maila is concentrate. As long as it's just a quiet room and there's nothing else there, and you don't have your phone and you don't have anything else, and you're able to concentrate. Outdoors is not so pushy because whatever noises, things, animals, and admiring the beauty of the of nature, v'chule. So there is a tremendous advantage to being in a quiet room. You're not going to be distracted. You're not going to be distracted by anything. When you're outdoors, even if it's a quiet place, nobody's going around over there. But there are behemoths, the chayas, the things going on. And it's very easy to get distracted. When you're just in your four walls, it's quiet. So in your four walls, it's easier not to be distracted. If you have such a place, a quiet place, it's good. So in many ways, there's a maila of the misbaided being able to come to a place of pnimius, which outside sometimes is just get distracted. Therefore, a person who's able to do both of these, sometimes he's able to get outside, but other times he's indoors. And because of that, he's able to have a fantastic thing. Warikus, concentrating, is a tremendous, tremendous thing to be able to concentrate. Yishuv Adas is a huge thing. When you're outdoors, especially at night, Rabbi Nachman was talking about being outdoors at night in a forest, you know, that can be scary. And you might not be in a place of Yishuv Adas. Or it's windy or it's cold. When you're inside and it's quiet, it could be any time, day or night, and you could have a quiet place and you could concentrate. Habihirus, things can be very clear. In whose presence am I sitting? Hechan ani nimsa. Where am I found? Hechan ani nimsa. Lefnei mi ani yoishev and hechan ani nimsa. Ein kol kach evsharos lasiach zadas l'erech zman. When you're in a quiet room, it's much less likely to have a hesach zadas. And when you're outside, it's very easy to have a hesach zadas. Ki ein la'an lahabit b'mel hezbeinim. Because when you need four walls, there's nothing to look at. There's nowhere to look at. There's nothing to do. L'chein gam odem harogil lotzeis b'chol pam l'soda. Therefore, even a person who has this great mila of being able to get out to the fields, he's like this farmer upstate, and he's got fields all over the place. It's great. Nevertheless, even for such a person, k'day shi yisragal gam l'sug yisbardus b'chedu. It's good l'chad chila, even, to do some hezbardus in a room, indoors. Malkum sagur, obviously in a place that's quiet, that's closed. Look, the truth is that even the guy over here in the country, in the middle of January, whenever I say to my wife at the end of the summer, I say, like, why can't we live like this the whole year? This is a machaya. It's so quiet, it's so peaceful. Why can't we live like this? So my wife always says that you were never up here like in the middle of January, like for a week or something, you know, and to be upstate in the middle of the winter. It sounds to me like it would be nice then too, but it's the snow. Huh?
Boosters are correct.
Yeah, Boosters open the whole year. Yeah, they have a place there. It's called Booster in South Fallsburg that you can drown yourself in fleshings the whole year, Baruch Hashem. It's open the whole year. If anybody's thinking about moving upstate, it's open all year, Booster. It's not called Busser, it's called B-O-O-S-U-R, Booster. It's a good place. So even if you live in a nice place, like you're upstate, or you're living, someplace where you have fields and forests, but Now it gets cold. It's you can't always go out to the fields and forests. Maybe in Yerushalayim, you know, no. It also gets cold and rainy in the winter. I guess maybe if you're in California someplace. Toronto for sure is too cold in the winter to always go outdoors. So yeah, you can't always go out to the fields. So you might not be able to mekayim it. Leikayim klalas eitz amuflaz ukiagish ein lochias b'nei shachedem etzamtzam myself. But if you get spoiled and you're only going out to the fields, so you when you go indoors you feel a terrible tzimtzum. You can't take it. It's like, you know, you're not used to it, and you feel like you can't connect in the room. You feel cut off from the Borei, from the Creator, from Ma'aseh Bereishis. So you need to have a mix. So given Noilos Amachshavos, you feel like your thoughts and your feelings are shut in and closed down by the four walls. So there are Milas and Chisoinis, both of them. Hanisoyin Mar Al Kach She'ela Shehurgul is Boided Ach V'Rach Mechus the Yishuv. So the Mechaber says that he's seen from his experience knowing people that those people who get used to just going outdoors, that that's their thing, to go always outdoors. G'she'ena Mesugolim L'atzeis Mechus the Yishuv. When they can't do that, when it happens that they can't do that, Koshla Ma'oy L'Kayim Es Eitzah L'Meflazah. It's very hard for them to be Mekayim the Eitzah of his Boidedus. V'yeshlam Sh'af Misrash L'Mekayim. And there are many of this chevra that when they can't be outdoors, they're just not going to do his brothers. It's either all or nothing. They can't bring themselves to do his brothers when they're stuck inside. Maskana is Ashweya Zoicha Lotzeis Buchalaila. Fortunate is the person who could do this great his brothers out at night in the forest or in the fields. Lishberg Siach of Nehashem, Michutz the Yishuv, Kizuhi Ashleimus. And many, many Jews, and many of our grandparents and great grandparents, they lived on the edge of the forest. So the forest was 10 steps away. And they were able to go into the forest and they were able to live such a way. Okay, it's Gvaldik. Kizu Ashleimus. As Rabbi Nachman said, that's the Shleimus, that's the highest Madrega. Our Poshut Ubar, it's very clear and obvious. Shagami She'eni Yochel Alechas B'chol Laila M'chutz La'ir. Even somebody who's not able to do that. Yeda Shagam has Baidu Shiasa B'bayis B'cheder M'yuchel Chshuvihi. He should know that even if he's able to do his Baidus in a room, again, especially if it's a designated room, it's it's very, very chosh in Hashem's eyes. And you shouldn't think, this is a bit evid. I'm not really able to do what Rabbi Nachman wanted. I'm not able to be poil over here. It's not true. Rabbi Nachman himself had such a room. There's no question about Kabbalah's atfilas, but not just Kabbalah's atfilas. But you yourself were able to take advantage of the mila of being in a quiet place. Now he says something extra. Especially if you're really a person with schusim, that you're able to live in Eretz Yisrael. You're able to live in Eretz Yisrael. Befrat hazoich alodu b'Eretz HaKodesh. Shekein, page Kuf Yuchetz. Shemati mir Levi Yitzhak, all of a show. So the Mechaber heard from Levi Yitzhak Bender. V'shem Rabbi Avram b'Rabbi Nachman Zatzal, who was a great, great Talmud, who was by Reb Nosson. Shebe'eretz Yisrael, mebnei kedushosa, inyan hayitz. Listen to this. Shebe'eretz Yisrael, that if you have the schus to live in Eretz Yisrael, to be in Eretz Yisrael, mebnei kedushosa, inyan hayitzia, chutz li yishuv, enu mukhra, kama b'chutz la'aretz. Because of the kedushas Eretz Yisrael, the inyan of going out to the field is not as urgent, the need to go outdoors is not as urgent as it is in Chutz La'aretz, because of Kedusha Sa'aretz. So because the homes in Eretz Yisrael, okay, even though many of the homes were not made by tzaddikim, but the earth that you're standing upon is Admas Kodesh. You're in a place of Kedusha. You're in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the need to go out to the field in Eretz Yisrael is not as great as when you're in Chutz Laaretz. Chutz Laaretz is a makom tuma, and you got to try as much as possible to plug into Ma'ase Bereishis. But when you're in Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael is kedushas. The air of Eretz Yisrael is filled with kedushas Eretz Yisrael, and the earth is kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Reb Leibitzchok heard from the Zakenim of Breslov that in Eretz Yisrael, the need to go outdoors is not as great as when you're in Chutz Laaretz. And Chutz Laaretz is a much more important and urgent thing to be able to get out of the office, out of the house, and get to the field. But in Eretz Yisrael, you could be outdoors while being indoors in Eretz Yisrael. After all that we've heard from Rabbi Nachman about the chashivas of going outside, even if that's not your way of living and you're in a place where you really have to do with bodhis indoors, it would be great, he says, if you could at least once a week to get someplace outdoors. If it's possible to get out to us once a week. Whatever, or if you do it twice a week, or if it's not once a week, it's once a month, but to try occasionally, if possible, to try occasionally to get to someplace which is quiet and it's mamish. You're in Maase Bereishis. Habitl, to get to that highest madrega that Rabbi Nachman is talking about, which it sounds like in Nun Beis and other places that to reach the highest madrega of Bittl, you need to be outdoors. The highest madrega of Bittl. Madvekas Bashemisburg, you need to head outside somewhere quiet. The Sima Perik, to end before ending this Perik, Yeshlahav here, it's important to clarify. According to all the makaris that we brought and so on, Mishub Emes Zochel Aleches Besodes Abiyaris Litay Mistam Gan Eden Hamuflaze. Whoever has the schus to go out to the fields and to the forest to taste this taste of Gan Eden, Shein Darmelo, that there's nothing that compared to this Gan Eden of being able to do his brothers in those places. Yovin Shub Emes Zu Tachlis Kavanis Rabbeinu. Vein Maimes Omel Achlisha Chasoma Vodis Hakadosh Hazu. I suspect that the Mechaber here, I could be totally wrong, he's not alive, we can't ask him, but I suspect that somebody read the Perek. Is this written, is this found in the, is this found? Mm-hmm. I suspect that when they read this Perek, so some of the real hardcore outdoor guys were upset that it would give, that the Perek might give the impression that indoors is just as good as outdoors. And so that's why he's ending here and he says, I want to be very clear that Yovin Shub Emes Zut Tachlis Kavanis Rabbein. That the Tachlis Kavanis Rabbein, who is, even though I thought he clarified it already, but I think he probably got accosted by some of the Chevra. That could be just my own imagination, but it looks to me like that he had to put this in at the end to be in good standing with the guys, who were the outdoor guys, who was saying, you made a big deal about being in a room, a kilo is something that's just gewaldig about it. And that's not what Rabbeinu had in mind. And the Tachlis Kavanis Rabbeinu is outdoors. I'm not coming in what I wrote over here to weaken in any way the Avodas HaKodesh of those people who are purely outdoors. Other Rabbah, Kani is bar lemayan shelishleimus lebitul tzrichem davke is bar des hazu. Anybody who learned the parak that we just learned carefully knows that I'm not suggesting otherwise. That according to Rabbi Nachman, the highest madrega Zdavka outdoors. For Bittel, Tzrichim Davka is about this Hazu, Davka this type of Hezbollahs. Elish had Tzarech Sheyeda Kashiyev Shalakayim Zos. Only the point I wanted to make is that when you can't do this, now the truth is that in the parak, what we just read was that he was saying there are certain milas to being indoors, right? But now in the end, it sounds like he's a little bit taking a step back from that. Sounds like maybe his life was threatened to something. Also, Shechas Rosham Yecholish B'Daito Afilu Ma'at. I just wanted to make the point that if you have to go indoors, you shouldn't have a Chalish Adas. Even a little bit of Chalish Adas Milakaimis etzem atzas hezbordis, and to keep on with your hezbordis, even if you have to be indoors. Now, what about kivrei tzaddikim? That's the end of the mamish, the end of the parak. Kivrei tzaddikim. What is that? You're not alone, but by kivrei tzaddikim. What's the status of the of kivrei tzaddikim? The gabei hezbordis. If you call mashin hezbor lael. According to all that we just learned, nimsa shekivrei tzaddikim shasham hashvaras hashchina. By kivrei tzaddikim, where there's a very, very powerful, intense madrega of hashvaras hashchina, who makam amasugal ma'oid lehezbardus. Kivrei tzaddikim is a place that's very masugal for hezbardus. Ulagil madregas bittel, to reach the highest madrega of his brothers, to be alone with the tzaddik. Now, what about if you were 10,000 people? And that's not, I don't think that's what he's talking about. And that's what he says. When you're by kivrei tzaddikim, even though you're in a crazy place, like you're in the middle of the Ukraine, which is saturated with Jewish blood and tuma and the Ukrainian anti-Semitic peasants and all their filth, and then all of a sudden you walk into the Meshbuz, you walk into the Beis HaChaim, you go then to Uman. So all the Havalim of Olam Hazeh don't have an Achiza. When you're by the Kever of a Tzaddik, the world is pure. Even though you're in a Beis HaChaim, you're in a cemetery, which is Makom Tuma. But that place by the Tzaddik, is not touched by the Ukraine. You're away from the Ukraine when you're in that place by the Tzaddik. You're away from Poland. You're in the middle of Lublin. When you go into the Chayza, you go to Reb Sadik, to Reb Leibler, or to the Marashal, whatever. It's a different zone. It's Hashra Zashchin. This world doesn't have an Achiza, doesn't take hold of those places. But on the other hand, very often when you go to those places, they're busy. They're busy, it's noisy, and it's hard to be misbeided. People are learning, people are davening. So sometimes it's hard to come to Yishuv Hadas Amiti. The first time that I was in Uman, I was zoche to be in Uman with one other person. Oh, two Talmidim of mine. That's before they built up the whole place. And we went, it was 3 a.m. Unbelievable yeshiva das. It's very hard when there's a big island. In addition to that, when you're in the field, you also have all the blades of grass, all the tefillahs of the fields that we were talking about last week. Leibitzak said that there were old brassavas in the old days, before our times, when it was still possible to go, and they couldn't go, but they went to Uman for his brother. With tzaddikim of Breslov, chassidim, they went to Uman for his brother, b'sinah kodesh. Not just by Uman, by kivrei tzaddik. So there were some brassavas that they preferred doing their hezbardus by the tzion. And there were other brassavas that preferred doing their hezbardus outside of Uman, outside of town. The Moshe Reb Matis, Yoha Karin Reb Matis, Osag Bezbardus Betzin Rabbein. This Reb Matis, he used to do his brothers by Rabbi Nachman. Hagam Hu Yotze Pamim Rabba is disbarded Besadish Mechusliya, but even this Reb Matis, He used to sometimes go out to the fields. As Rabbi Nachman spoke about also the grass and tefillahs and so on. Kfisha shamati mi yilidei Uman shaholchu imo yachad, as I heard from people who were together with this Rabbi Matis, by his brothers. The Kain Rabbi Shmuel Horowitz, one of the big tzaddikim in this past generation from Breslau. Rabbi Shmuel Horowitz, Hoya Shoya Bitsion Bakal Yoim when he went to Uman, he stayed by the Tzion for many hours a day, come for Kamashos, but Omri, and he would say, Soda is the Eshta Gam Be'etz Yisrael. Rabbi Nachman said to go out to the field. He said, I live in Eretz Yisrael, and I have, Baruch Hashem, in Eretz Yisrael, I have plenty of fields, but Rabbi Nachman, I only have over here. So he used to spend all of his time by Rabbi Nachman. Ach Rab Machem Hikpidu Lotzeis Midei Laila L'Sodeis L'Horis, but there were other breastovers, big Ovdim, that they used to go out to the fields. Even in Uman, they would go out to the fields at night. V'chdei Lasek Shom Yisbardus B'neim Hoyu Oysam Ovdim Shagam B'Leilos Kar Mukfum. And among those people that were even Ovdim, who went when it was mamish, freezing cold, you know, over there, it gets freezing cold. And these Ovdim would go out to the fields even in the winter. And they were not mavata. They wouldn't let go of this avoid of his bardus outside. Despite the tremendous difficulties, we sure they weren't. They didn't have proper clothing, and they didn't have any way to protect themselves when they would go out in those bitter winters of the Ukraine to go outdoors for his bardus. Mesivus nefesh, tremendous mesivus nefesh. When he was asked about Rabbi, what was the hanog of Rabbi Avram, Rabbi Nachman, he said it was hard to figure out exactly any time where he was, where, what he had. He was an Ishpel, he was a very mysterious person, and I guess it was hard to know, to follow his tracks, to know where he was. You know, it's an interesting thing, I'll just... Because for starting, I guess we won't start the new parak now, but it's an interesting thing that I saw that disturbed me, and maybe you saw this also, that in last week's Mishpacha magazine there was a letter. I don't know if my wife threw it out or not. I'm not sure if it's here, but there was a letter regarding a famous picture of a Baruch Be'er that was in the earlier, that was in the Mishpacha from 2 weeks ago. There's a famous picture of a Baruch Be'er, the great Rosh Yeshiva from Slobodka, from Kamenetz, a Baruch Be'er sitting outdoors on a hammock, on a lounging chair, with surrounded by his students in the forest. It's a famous picture of Baruch Be'er. As you all know, Baruch Be'er was a huge tzaddik, one of the great Litvish Rosh Yeshivas in the last century. Is actually my Rebbe's Rebbe. The Rebbe that I had in high school was a huge Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Yaakov Bobrovsky was a big Lamdan, and he was we didn't appreciate it at the time, unfortunately. But he learned by Baruch Be'er. He was very close to Baruch Be'er, and I had other Rebbeim who were close to Baruch Be'er. So Baruch Be'er said, "Tzadik, I'm going." And so there's a famous picture, and apparently I don't remember reading this, but in the article the week before, I mean 2 weeks ago, there was something there about how Baruch Be'er was taking a break from the learning, from his learning with some of his Talmidim, you know, relaxing in the forest. And there was a woman who called herself Mrs. Something or other from Lakewood, who wrote a letter last week, very upset about that, because the person who wrote the article previous week, you were implying that Baruch Be'er was not learning, that he stopped learning, that he went out and was sitting with some guys in the forest, like relaxing. And how could you make such an implication? And she wrote in the letter, Baruch Be'er not learning, like with question mark, exclamation point. No, it must be he only went there he went there because he was clearing his mind so that he would be able to concentrate on his learning. So, I find such a letter, in all the respect to the person who wrote it, I don't know who she is, she's an exceptionally big tzaddik, and I find it not only that it's simplistic nonsense, but I find it to be the kind of a thing that is such a turnoff to so many of the guys in yeshiva, and just bechlal, from people, it's like such a turnoff. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh taught, when it says in the Mishnah, that if a person is walking outside, right, and it says in Pirkei Avos, and he says, Monoi Lanzeh, he's learning Torah, and he looks up from his learning, and he sees the tree, and he says how beautiful this tree is. He's mischai benafsho. He's like worthy of dying. Now this woman takes that literally. It can't be that Baruch Kler was relaxing with his students in the forest. The Baal Shem Tov taught that the deeper meaning of the Mishnah is, and the one our generation needs to understand, is that the Baal Shem Tov said that, and we've spoken about this many times, because we're talking about being outdoors in the fields and so on, that if a person is learning and he sees this as being that he's stopping the Mishnah, so he's stopping his learning by looking at the trees, then he's and saying Manoilanza, how beautiful this tree is, and then he's Mischayab Nafshu. What the Baal Shem Tov said is that the problem with this person is not that he's looking at the trees. The problem is that his looking at the trees is not a way of him learning what it means to be a Jew. That's the problem. They're two separate worlds. He sits and has his head in the Sefer, in the Gemara, and when he is done learning Gemara, then he's completely buries himself in the world outside. That's called his mafsik mimishnasa. He's stopping his learning. The truth is that when a Jew is like Reb Baruch Ber, every single second of his life is thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he was out there in the field or in the forest with his Talmidim, the avoida of Reb Baruch Ber was not that he was thinking about the Gemara at that moment. I don't believe that's true. I think he was thinking about how much he loved his Talmidim and how much he loved the Rebbein Shem who made such a beautiful world. That's not called interrupting your learning. That's called B'chol Drechecha De'ehu. That's Yiddishkeit 001. That's called learning Torah. That's called learning. The problem with the guy in the Mishnah is that he's Mafsik Mimishnasai. He has two separate worlds. There's his when he has his head in the Sefer, and then when he's not in the Sefer, it's a different world. That's exactly what's going on with the Chavir these days. Either you're learning or you're worthless. That's why I saw this letter as being extremely dangerous. It seems like a harmless letter from a very firm lady, which I'm sure she is. I see it as being very dangerous. And I had to have him in to write something back, but and anytime I did that in the past, I get aggravation from all these people. I don't want to get into the whole thing. I see it as being a very dangerous mahalach. It's exactly that mahalach that says to this guy that spent his earlier years learning yeshiva, now he goes to work, that he's a worthless, empty nothing, now that he's at work. But Baruch Be'er stopped learning. Can't be. If you're not learning, you're nobody. You're worthless. But maybe it's possible for a person to actually, when he's outside, that he's still thinking about Hashem. Not only when he's in front of a sefer. Maybe there's such a thing as a Jew who believes in God outside of the Beis Hamikdash. Maybe there's a Shavis Hashem like the summit when he's exercising, or when he's certainly when he's with his Talmidim. But Baruch Be'er was with his Talmidim in the forest. And she writes, Baruch Be'er not learning? It must have been, he wasn't thinking of the guys. He wasn't thinking about the Chevra. He wasn't thinking about the Rebbein Shlomo's world. He was just trying to stay in the learning, and he needed to clear his head up a little bit so that he could learn better. And maybe I'm exaggerating, and maybe you need to read the letter. Maybe she meant exactly what I'm saying. Didn't sound like it. So if she meant what I'm saying, I apologize completely to her. I didn't mean to offend anybody. But if she meant it the other way, which is the way that kids are often getting, that if you're not a person that sits and learns all day, there's no other part of serving Hashem other than learning. And we can't imagine that Reb Baruch Be'er was not learning while he was sitting, the big smile on his face, sitting with the guys in the forest. And that's not called Avodas Hashem. Who told her that's not called Avodas Hashem? That's not called Avodas Hashem. That's not called B'chol Drechecha De'ehu. That's not called Dveikus B'Hashem. I mean, I don't know where to begin. I think that I'm preaching to the choir. You understand what I'm talking about, but how this is a subtle type of a poison. And the guys in the yeshivas are hearing this over and over and over again, which to them means that if I really want to be a tzaddik, I have to be like Baruch Be'er. I have to be like Reb Baruch Be'er. Reb Baruch Be'er never stopped for a second thinking about Torah. So I can't forget about being a tzaddik. The Yiddishkeit that this lady is writing about in the letter is impractical and for most people, not doable. And the conclusion that most of the Chevra reach, or a lot of the Chevra reach from reading this kind of stuff and hearing these shmuzen over and over again is, I can't be on that program. So what other program is there? The other program is you throw yourself completely into the world as per what's going on. You just throw yourself into the world. It's not God's world. It's somebody else's world. Maharaya, or Baruch Be'er, couldn't possibly be in a state of Dveikus being in Hashem's world outside of the Beis Medrash. So the world outside of the Beis Medrash is not God's world. So if I'm not in God's world, no. Anything goes when you're not in God's world. Just watch what's going on. When you're not in God's world, anything goes. Mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. Because you're not in God's world. So you could sit and wonder, how is it? I knew this guy 20 years ago. He was the most serious guy in the Beis Medrash. And now the guy's like, what's the story? How did this happen? How did that happen to him? What, Baruch Be'er is not learning? Cool. Maisha Kapayu, I'm not learning. What's the choice? You're nobody. You're nothing. You're an empty kli. Baruch Be'er was not clearing his head for the Gemara. Baruch Be'er was sitting and enjoying his Talmidim and enjoying the Bnei Shlomo's world. And that was not a break from his learning. He was Dovuk to Hashem, I believe, much higher things about Rabbi Baruch Be'er than this lady. Because I believe that Rabbi Baruch was such a tzaddik that every second of his life was Shivis Hashem like the summit. Every second of his life was Shivis Hashem like the summit. What does that lady say about Rabbi Baruch Be'er when he went to the Beis HaKisei? What, Rabbi Baruch Be'er not learning? No. Hashem Yisroel should help us that we should be Jews in our rooms, in our fields, in our forests, in our universities, at work, and even in the Beis HaKisei. Rabbi Shavu Lechtik and Shabbos all my love.